Thank you. It's a much contested issue to keep the public issue quiet because it's not the place for the question. Can I suggest we go until 1 o'clock as well? We have to ask the member officer, might also have to do that. So I'm not sure if I'm sure not for you suggested that we go until 1? To me, that makes it manageable for us as well.
I don't have all the powers, but one of the things I made an appeal that we're not doing enough laws. And I just want to make an appeal that for all of us, it is not right if we're going to declare the committee meeting and we make it some other week or something else. Today is a full working day, and tomorrow is a full working day for which all of us across political parties are paid. I'm just registering a lament, Chair. We are holding the work of the people back for our own personal reasons, more often than that preliminary stage. I'm just registering a lament, Chair. That's my work on the week.
Can we agree, honourable members, that at least by 1 o'clock, let's see how far do we go? Maybe just by 1 o'clock, we're not yet finished with that. Now, an expectation of the engine will be continued. And I pray. Thank you, Chair. Waiting for the report to be tabled formally in Parliament then, and other processes that are supposed to be followed. And also, we, but we have agreed that we have to invite Dr. Sassen to come and just brief us with regards to their findings at the high panel, at the high level panel member who was responsible for land related issues.
Chair, I think the, I understand the point that the report has not been formally tabled in Parliament, and there's a particular process there. I agree that process shouldn't unduly delay a process yet. But I think that the consideration in terms of the information that we use to apply our minds to this bill, I think consideration should be given more in terms of the high level report. Now, my question would be, before we submit this bill to Parliament, will that meeting be taking place with Professor Klassen? Will we be listening to that as a final, call it, consideration before in looking at the bill itself? And I'm not suggesting the one process must delay the other process. I'm talking about the content of what she has to share. Are we going to be looking at that more in depth before this goes to Parliament, or will it only happen afterwards?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, also Honourable Chair. It's an awkward situation, Chair, and I want to really persuade Honourable Walters to entertain this is unnecessary exercise he's taking us through. It was the one yesterday, Professor was speaking, who suggested that we'd rather have a fresh start when you were posing the question, Chair, to the House being the committee, as to whether we proceed after we have finished the preliminary engagement on the overarching principle. And then he moved a motion which was saying we'd rather start on a fresh start with a clause by clause today. Now, when we are starting on a clause by clause, Honourable Walters has changed his position, changed his colour, changed his stance to really persuade us to really go back to yesterday's discussion. We came out yesterday before time, Chair. There was still time we could have discussed this, and these issues he's raising were actually discussed exhaustively. May I go further, Chair, and say, there was a presentation which I still have, and I hope I can share with my colleague if he has not used, which was made about extracting by a professional person, a committee researcher, who then extracted from the high-level panel the discussion issues of relevance to CPA, which we looked at and we discussed. I still remember all my points I raised from high-level panel when they were making suggestions about executive and non-executive and all that. I'm just saying, Chair, strictly speaking, if I were to be harsh, like some other parties get to be harsh sometimes, really, really, it is completely an out of order kind of discussion. But in the spirit of tete-a-tete, I will just persuade that we can't entertain that now. Now we're here for a clause by clause, and that's it. And I don't know if there's something else, Chair. I don't want to suspect that there's deliberate delay so that the gains made by this government in this term can be limited to one or two. I mean, it's absolutely unnecessary, and I think let's just proceed with the reading. Thank you.
Now, Chairperson, Member Mdluli started with his hoping to persuade me, and then he proceeds to suggest some kind of a there's some suggestion by us to delay the process. Now, I asked a very simple question that I raised yesterday as well. Are we, when, and this was a suggestion that came from the floor, that we should engage with the high-level panel report? I seek clarity and I made a suggestion in that regard. Now, to suggest that, then to refer to myself saying that we should reconvene applying so we can apply some special, well, this is really myself applying myself freshly exactly what I said, considering our discussions yesterday. And really, we wouldn't be under such time pressure now if the government that you are referring to and the game that you are referring to if it wasn't, if there was only one bill in the last term that actually went to this committee, now everything is hitting us in the last year before the election. So I can also impute motives. I can also cast dispersions. So be careful, because we don't want to go through this process with a tit for tat exercise where we don't discuss the bill itself. Now, to get back to the point that I made, there was a very important, by this government, a very important high-level panel investigation looking at the issue of land. Yesterday, and it was a couple of parties that said we must emphasize that we should take a fresh look at the land reform space. There's information available to this committee which allows us to do exactly that. Now, I'm coming back to my question. Is it, and this is my suggestion, that not to delay the process, we go through this clause by clause as we agreed, and I suggest that as a last look before we pass this to Parliament, we give consideration to the high-level panel approach in more detail in order to advance the cause of land reform as proposed by a high-level panel appointed by the ANC their government. So why am I, as a DA politician, reminding the ANC what its own government is doing?
Just to see what it means. Yesterday we dealt with this bill. There were highlights for the funding of the high level panel on the CTA Act. There was even the CTA amendment bill. I think those highlights were relevant to what we are doing. But we can't wait for the high level panel to come and brief us before we can conclude the bill. If we go close by close, we have to go close by close now and finalize the bill. The other processes will follow. We're not going to die this year. Even if we die, other members will be coming in the next term. They will consider that report of the high-level panel. If needs be, they can amend the CPA Act or other legislation. But there are lots of findings of the high-level panel. But yesterday, specific findings based on the CPA Act were discussed here, and we engaged on them. So is there any extra thing that we need from the high-level panel that will assist us when you are dealing with this amendment of the CPA?
We've done more yesterday. We have even made suggestions on issues that are going to the policy and banking regulations. I mean, but as we were discussing, the staff in the department were taking notes and make sure that some of these things may not necessarily be in the act itself, but they will be part of the regulation. And then what will be some of the issues that will pick from Professor Glasser, they will be helping us with many other legislations. Like we have got issues of women. One woman, one chicken, one woman, one hectare, and then many other programs that we have. And then she will be commenting about those, and then we can do it right. The chicken.
One woman.
Thank you, sir. This is the report of reports under the Mississippi Air Act that will be received via satellite. For the sake of topic, I move that we continue with the agenda. Thank you very much.
No, Chair, I think sometimes I'm very soft on one of the workers, and I do it deliberately. And I think he abuses it, and it's not called for, Chair. Let's start on the issues with the master. When we deliberate as a committee, we deliberate as committee members, not as parties. Two, if he is a Democrat, as he professes to be, you don't say on a platform that is a 62% party, plus other parties agreeing, and say many parties here. Because it's not about the number of parties here. It's absolutely about, if you want to take it to the party line, please register our ANC 62.something%. And then you start from there, which is the reality you can't change. I'm just saying, Chair, when we advise politely that there was agreement yesterday, let it be fairly considered by Honorable Walter. If he is not prepared, if he thinks he can take us on, then we'll take him on. But I suggest, Chair, that if still this discussion is not closing, I move that we vote on it.
Honourable members, can we proceed with the agenda for today? There was a proposal by Honourable Member Makasa that we proceed with the cycle of the CPA amendment.
Madam Chair, well, I don't know why it's not on when he's on the walk path. It's very unnecessary.
Is this the idea from your other?
It's very unnecessary provocation. He's provoking unnecessary tension. So, let's not miss on the important argument or decision made yesterday. But alongside the process of dealing with the bill, Professor Klassen will be invited to make a visit. It's an important milestone that we have agreed without much disagreement. Without stalling this process. And I don't get this coming from Honorable Walter, a suggestion that the process should be stalled. I don't get it. That's my interpretation of his submission. All what he says is that let's get the briefing, let's look at the findings, let's get a comprehensive briefing or presentation by Professor Klassen. I get him to be saying the process undertaken by the high level panel should not be an exercise taken or carried out in futility. It must be factored in the work of Parliament. So whilst Parliament will be considering the report of the high level panel, that should not mean that, and I agree with Honorable Nkulu, that should not mean that we must stop the work that we are undertaking. But equally, the work that was carried out by the high level panel should not be in vain. It should be factored in somehow. So there's some middle ground I'm trying to move to convert about without really inviting hostility. And at the same time proceed with the presentation. So let's make that underscore that Professor Klassen will be invited at one point, and we leave that in the capable hands of Madam Chair to facilitate that presentation. And all other matters will be processed simultaneously without holding any other process.
Chairperson, that's exactly what I suggested. And again, I do not believe that I mean, remarks like soft on the, you know, that kind of thing. I do believe Member Mbuni is out of order in such a hostile response to what should be seen as a sensible suggestion. And I appeal to you to please manage that kind of austerity. I would appreciate it.
Let me make a ruling on this matter. Can we stop the discussion and proceed to our agenda for today? Please, Honourable Member, after me. Honourable Member, thank you. Can we proceed with our agenda for today as I indicated? We have noted the decision that we've taken yesterday with regards to the matter as raised by Honourable Matthias, that we agree that we will invite Dr. Justin or Professor Alena, the rector, because others are saying doctor, others are saying professor. Dr. Professor Justin because there are lots of findings that were related to various legislation that are related to the U.S. on that one. Can you proceed, Honourable Members? As I said, that Honourable Robertson, you will start from that side. We'll read each and every clause to discuss if we agree with it. After Honourable Robertson, Honourable Rogers will follow likewise. Over to you, Honourable Robertson.
Thank you, Honourable Jane. I must just tell you, welcome back to our committee. We really, really missed you at the end of last year. The meetings in your absence, I don't speak for myself, were absolute torture with the ramblings on about political aspects and political bargaining and posturing. So I'm glad you're back and you're taking the place of chair again so that we can carry on with the business that we are taking instead of listening to ongoing yatta yatta. So thank you and welcome back. I'll start off with the bill to amend the Communal Property Associations Act of 1996 so as to amend, insert and delete certain definitions to provide for clarity on the objective of communal property associations, to extend the application of their act to the certain later tenants who require land, to provide for the establishment of Communal Property Associations Office and the appointment of a registrar in community property associations, to provide for general plans for land administration by the association, to repeal the provisions relating to the provisional associations, to provide improved protection for the rights of communities in respect of movable and immovable property administered by the association, to provide for name changes of associations, to improve the provisions relating to the management of the association that has been placed under administration, to provide clarity on the content of the annual report in respect of associations, to make provisions for the transitional arrangements, and to provide for matters connected with therewith. To be enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows: Amendment of Section 1 of Act 28, 1998, as amended by the Section 30. By Section 30 of the Act 4 of 2011, Section 1. Section 1 of the Communal Property Associations Act 1996, Act number 28 of 1996, herein referred to the Principal Act, is hereby amended by the substitution for the definition of authorized officer of the following definition. Authorized officer means the person designated as such by the Director General of the Registrar. By the substitution for the definition of committee. Say that again.
Because this is an amended one,
that
the Director General must be omitted.
Alright, so authorized officer means the person designated as such by the Director General. By the substitution for the definition of committee of the following definition. Committee means a committee elected by members of the association to assist the association to manage the affairs of the association. C. By the substitution for the definition of community of the following definition. Community means a group of persons, including later tenants, contemplated in section 2.6, whose rights to the particular property are determined by shared rules under the written constitution, and which wishes or is required to form an association as contemplated in section 2.
Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm also in favour of the idea that we insert in the legislation, I'm not sure it's at this stage yet, but that the registrar most certainly must be independent-minded. It cannot be, of all the presentations we've seen about CPAs, it's a section of a terrain which the department is clearly incapacitated in. I think it's the kind of position where it comes to matters of land use that it in a sense should be like there should be an expectation that this is an independent-minded person operating according to a clear legal mandate. And now I'm not sure whether the angle that the member Makatiasi took in his way of describing it, I heard now for the first time, so I must give it some thought, whether the reporting lines in itself is dealing with it. But so I'm no difficulty with that proposal, and I'm willing to support it. But what I suggest is we do, when we get to the appointment and conditions of the service of the registrar, that we look at maybe what we expect in terms of the independent-mindedness. And I think it's more than just how it's situated and who it reports to. I think it's the kind of mandate that they should have. It should be an independent-minded person. It should not be somebody drawn into partisan matters, as CPAs often are. So I think it's worth consideration when we get to the functions of the registrar.
Looking at the functions to be performed by the registrar, and also coupling that with the rationale for the development of the beer in the first place, my understanding of this position is that it is no more than a management position, focused specifically on taking care of the needs of the CPAs. And therefore, its level of, call it independence or whatever name that would be associated with that, to me, I think it would be a matter of stretching it too far. I think the department would be comfortable to have one accountable officer, and that is the DG, and all the sections, depending on the level of their seniority, would be reporting to the DG. This is something totally different, as much as even, with the commissioner still reports to the DG. But this is a far junior position and functions compared with them. I'm just making a comparison so that my thinking, is better understood. So my understanding is that it's a management position, more than anything else. Thanks.
Thank you, Jenny. I think mobile companies company by and large, doesn't mean that indeed seeks to establish one also called a directorate that only deals with CPA. The difference also this year is that the minister is the one that appoints the registrar, not the DG. Yes, and the bill indicates the CPA offers a function within the department. So ultimately, the registrar will report in relation to his ordinary day-to-day functions and resources, etc., that he or she needs to the DG. But when it comes to the report, the annual report on the actual work done, the building indicates that that report must go from the registrar to the minister. The bill does not propose to say that he must submit it first, but she must submit it first to the to the DG. Chair, I think the questions of capacity, the bill indeed in whichever function, I think one of these raises concern around capacity, and that indeed this focus must be adequately capacitated to perform each function, and the DG would be responsible together with the registrar or assisting the registrar indeed to make all those resources available to indeed perform the functions outlined in this above. Thank you.
No, the question, what would be the entry level for the skills that you need to assist?
Thank you. So when you ask us to start reading, sometimes we make a preliminary comment that are not part of the reading, but they go to record. And it's only fair, there's quite a number of lawyers, to really have the right to reply. But the instance of your absent chair was nominated as a chair.
Chair,
on
a point of order. Chair, on a point of order, you made a ruling that we're proceeding,
No, Chair, you have absolutely the right to reply. I was telling you there's an instance to that.
Chairperson,
it cannot go without an answer. I will insist on a response.
On a point of order, we've got important business to do here. Yeah.
Regulations. sometimes as we discuss, we want to really go down to that level of the regulations. And all one can definitely put firmly is that we may not want discussing the bill, then find ourselves deep into the detail of the regulations. And therefore, based on that, propose that perhaps the issue about clarity on that definition of the registrar is possibly adequate, and that we'll discuss appropriately when it comes to that item on the bill. Thank you.
I don't know what gives both Honourable Walters and Honourable Mugumi the right to think that I did not apply my mind on page matter that I contain in page 1. I don't know what to give them that right. Look, Madam Chair, without any intent to organize this process, perhaps you have to read the draft bill in consultation with the principal head. This concept or term, authorized officer, and I guess this is the intention of the draft bill, seeks to define the authorized officer in relation to whoever is empowered to designate such authority to whosoever is hereby described as authorized officer. English is the foreign number is encounter fast. He came here with three sheets. He came here with three sheets.
Yeah,
Romadayas, Wokonot. So it's easy to understand. That's not sometimes, but all the time. Now, the purpose of this way, or of this phrase, or of this terminology which we are trying to define, of an authorized officer, is in relation to whosoever empowered to designate whosoever referred to as authorized officer. Now, in terms of the procedure of amending anything, let's go first, let's go to the general explanatory note. Let's go to the general explanatory note. General explanatory note says, words in bold type in square brackets indicate omissions from existing enactment. Two, words underlined with a solid line indicate insertions in existing enactment. Now the intention of this definition of the authorized officer is to do away with the title Director General and replace it with Register. Am I right?
Yes.
Is to do away with the word for the title Director General and replace it with Register. So it means we are not defining the Director General. We are defining authorized officer. And this authorized officer will be who or whosoever who shall have been designated in this case in terms of the principal act by the Director General, but in this case of the new amendment bill by the Registrar. So the word Registrar replaced Director General. Now, if we agree on that one, with the intention of a purpose of making headroom, I was asking what would be the authority of the Registrar in relation to the Director General. And what I'm going to say, let's pack that matter until we deal with items on containing 35.
Oh, we have no problem with that. But let's clarify ourselves as we proceed, that what is it that this terminology seeks to achieve? That's my submission.
Madam Chair, we can assist in this request to explain further. The authorized officer maybe to explain what the person does in terms of the act, so that the definition is still understood. Is the person who will be sent in the current dispensation before the bill is amended by the DG to go and assist CPAs that want to adopt the constitution, to assist them in ensuring that the requisite quorum, the meeting is properly convened, that people attend the meeting, the discussions are proper with the due to adopt the constitution. Now, in terms of the principal act, that person is appointed by the DG. Now, in terms of the bill, that person is going to be appointed by the registrar now. That is the difference there. So that appears, if you look at the principal act, if you look at section 7.2, that's where it talks about the authorized officer. What that person does, as I'm saying, in terms of the current legislation, it is the person appointed by the DG to assist with the adoption of the concern by the CPA. The person who goes to the ground where the CPAs are to explain to them the processes and everything that needs to be done. But because we are creating a group of the registrar now, it is the resource going to be appointing that person no longer the teacher. Thanks for that. So the registrar is going to appoint the authorized officer. The minister appoints the registrar.
Not attempting to speak in my talk, but the crux of the question was the relationship between the registrar and the DG, not the authorized officer. So, and I think it's related to whether the registrar can act independently of the DG. That kind of a it has to do with the power of the community.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Chair. As Honourable Muni has explained, the registrar, which for the purpose of the bill will replace the power that used to be exercised by the DG in terms of the principal act, is in page 5 of the bill. It's talked about the composition of the office of the registrar, and it also sets up the power. But it talks about the composition of the CPA office, appointment of the registrar, and powers of the registrar. To the extent that members are discussing the definition now of authorized officer, as Advocate Rama was explaining, the authorized officer is merely someone who gets delegated by the registrar to carry out functions which should be carried out by the registrar. But because he can't be everyone, he authorizes somebody to go and exercise those duties. Whether it's helping the CPA with the constitution or so, that is the explanation.
Do you agree on the explanation?
Chairperson, it's a point of that from regarding the appointment of an authorized officer. Is it the minister or the DG who appoints in the department? I just wanted to ask because you said the minister appoints. Is it not the DG who appoints in the department?
Delegated to
Thank you very much. The question that is...
Sorry, I'm sorry, can I just write something before you respond? But the legal unit from the government and also the legal unit from the department and the state law actors is what dealing with the drug control. The department is the drafter, the one who initiated the amendment. So there are things that Nancy will not be able to clarify, but Nancy can advise and guide us. But can be clarified by the department itself as the bill, the amendment is coming from the department. So when I'm giving the department an opportunity to clarify, it doesn't mean that I'm disregarding our legal advisor. All of them have to participate, all of them have to assist us, so that at the end of the day we will be the same understanding. I put it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question being asked, I think, relates to the appointment of staff generally. If you look at clause 2C of the bill, which talks about the appointment and conditions of service of the registrar, clause 2C1 says that the minister appoints the registrar. And then if we look at clause 2C, two, it says a registrar with the consent of the DG may appoint a deputy registrar for a regional office. And if you look at 2C5, it says the DG shall, in consulting with the registrar, designate any person to the department to provide questions for the computer in the office of the registrar and the deputy registrar. So the appointment of staff does not depart from the current arrangement in the main of appointment in the department. The DG remains the person who may appoint staff as the accounting officer of the department. However, in the establishment of the regional office, the registrar does appoint a regional registrar, but with the consent in consultation with the DG as the accounting officer of the department. So I'm not sure that clarifies the... So the issue of authorized officer, it should be somebody who works under the register. It's about having been appointed. That's why they use the designated in the definition of the register. Not staff of member who is designated by the register to perform the function of the register on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Honourable members, do you agree with the honourable
Mr. Chair? I hope I'm not speaking out of turn when I want to inquire if I can raise issues on what has been read. I think that this is done, the question raised initially by Jimena from the EFF. So there's two other issues that I want to raise on what has been read.
With the authorized officer?
Sorry?
With the issue of the
authorized officer? No, something different. Okay, when we are done with that, I would like to have an opportunity to talk to somebody else. Thanks for the clarity, Chair.
Honourable
members, do we agree on the issue of the
might be belaboring the point, because it is covered elsewhere as well. But when you look at committee, means a committee elected by members of an association, maybe we should just insert the wording that it's members of an association elected according to the approved rules as envisaged in this legislation, the words to that effect. Just to tighten it up a bit, but it's not the kind of thing that I'm going to die in a ditch for. It's just a suggestion. I'm suggesting that when we say committee means a committee elected by members of an association to assist the association to manage the affairs of that association, what I'm saying is I might be belaboring the point, but we might want to point out an association elected in terms of a constitution, in terms of the legislation there. It's really just to tighten it, but it's not the kind, it's not something I would die in a ditch for. Or it's a suggestion, either the committee does it or not.
Okay, let me start off by retorting there to what Honorable Walter has spoken to. I think the assumption here is that the association is already defined somewhere, although there is no definition of an association, rather than belaboring the point by say elected, you know. But I've got something else of my own that I wanted to raise at the right time.
The word association is defined in the principal act, so it makes sense. In the amendment, there's nothing that the department of the association has to change. But when looking at the principal act, the association makes the communal property association, which is registered or qualified for registration in terms of Section 8. Another member, there was a proposal for another question.
Just wish to ask a question. Whether they are especially the African Ram, whether there is a specific reason or is there why, for example, the issue of committee will not be, or whether the word executive could not be inserted before a committee to create a distinction between a committee and executive committee. As you used to say, Chair, one would want to imagine that in a good functioning CPA, that the CPA would obviously appoint members in different committees to oversee different projects. So that we create a distinction between the executive committee that is responsible for the overall management of the affairs of the committee, and another subcommittee that has been elected to, for example, deal with a mining issue or a production issue, etc. But I just wanted to know whether there would be a great difficulty to insert the word executive before the committee. So we refer to this.
The executive
committee.
Before coming to the proposal of those members, when looking at the proposal of that, something which has been inserted in the amendment, the way to accept that the definition is the same. Because when looking at the definition of the principal act, the committee makes the committee elected by members of an association to manage the affairs of that association. But when looking at the amendment, it reads that committee meets the committee elected by members of the association to assist the association to manage the affairs of that association. So just to assist, so I don't know what difference the way assist. What is the difference between the definition, whether that assist of the principal act and that one of the amendment?
That was just the point, Chair. And funny enough, I haven't even read or referred to the principal act I think the word assist the word confuses you know, issues here. I'm not sure if it was inserted deliberately to convey a different meaning or whether it was just incidental or accidental. Because to me, when you say to assist the association, it implies that the association has a responsibility to manage its affairs, but equally, mutually excluding the fact that, you know, principally, the committee are responsible for managing the affairs. In other words, it implies that the association has a duty to manage its affairs. But now when you say the committee has a duty to assist, it means that they are not principally charged with the responsibility of managing the affairs. It is the association which will manage the affairs. They are only going there to assist. And that's a totally different meaning to what is contained in the principal act, which is without the word assist. So go back to the department to perhaps help us to understand what was the intention of inserting that word. I repeat, I haven't even read this, but I was just interpreting this from my understanding, you know, of the context. I don't understand the language.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the interpretation is correct. That's how I understand it. You would have noticed that throughout the day, we have said the association manages the affairs of the city with the association. It's not its own affairs. But the committee, it is the committee of the association, assists the association in the management of its affairs. Principally, the association remains the one responsible for managing its own affairs. It's a committee of the association, assists the committee, assists the association in the management of the association. But that's the main thing to be discussed. And on the issue of the executive committee, the term executive is not used anywhere, even in the principal act. It's only the committee. It talks about the association, as we agreed, which is the, if you like, the entire membership. And then the committee is the one that assists in the management. And the committee, it doesn't talk about different committees, either the executive committee or finance committee, or because there were comments made yesterday that maybe we have to have a finance committee. Now, if the intention is to start prescribing different committees, that's something else. But as the act stands and the bill stands, it only talks about the committee. And I suppose the assumption is that committee can form subcommittee. If they want to have the one that is with finances, the one that is with research, the one that, I think it would be free to do that, to form subcommittee. But that's not something that we're dealing with in the principal act and the bill. It only talks about the committee. The assumption being that the committee has the right to form of the associates, form subcommittees that some will deal with finances, some may deal with research, some may deal with other issues. But if the committee is of the view that we need to start prescribing the committee, the executive committee, finance committee, have a plan, that's something that can be considered. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I also
just
to answer that.
Thank you.
Thanks for the explanation, Advocate. In that case then, this creates to me the impression that the members of the committee may not feel that much obliged to carry out any function, because it means the level of responsibility expected of them in the discharge of their functions is much lower than if we were to say they are doing the management on behalf of the association. Then they would feel authorized and empowered to carry out. But it is under that assumption. I may or may not be there for the association. Circumstances permitting, I'll do it. If my personal circumstances don't permit, I won't. I may not even come to the meeting. Don't question me if the quorum is not there. Well, that's merely assisting. But if you say on behalf of, then they carry the responsibility rest squarely on their shoulders. So I would plead for a different adjective to assist, to rather say on behalf. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, remember I said the chair that I've got two issues on what has been read. Going back to the third line, right from the top, under the word beer, the third word from the extreme right of the third line, that word there is to certain labor tenants, right at the top. That is right at the top. Now, why do you say, okay, the beer, third line, you go to the third line, the third word from the extreme right, third you check. Now, why certain labor tenants? That's my question to the person.
Is this not what you have been explaining, that not all labor tenants, those who have been restituted land, they were answering the question, I think it was just by Honorable Matthias, if my memory is not wrong, that not all labor tenants, but those whose land has been restituted, they've been given land, but not all of them. Honorable Matthias?
Well, I think you're too ahead of himself, Honorable Sultan. We're not yet there, but still dealing with college, the definition of what that college. But I think the point I agree with you, those on the on what should be inserted and what should be deleted. That instead of using assist, we should insert on behalf. Certainly the line sounds more monotonous. What is called tautology. There are many associations there. Can we delete one? So that is the sense that we at least our level of understanding English. We're not. I propose that marriage. A committee means the committee elected by members of an association to manage the affairs of the association, to manage the affairs of the association. There are many, there are three associations there in one sentence. I suggest that we cut one. There are linguists here who will help us out to get rid of one association. So there is a sense of that. But I agree in principle with Honorable Mr. Chairman.
Too many associations.
That's where? Very many damage. Thank you, Chair. Give me my name and my sound of guilty. The given our experience in relation to the public hearings, there seems to be a lot of merit in what in this original proposal, proposal change. Because I think the trust what this amendment seeks to do is to build the intrinsic link between the committee and the association, so that the committee is constantly aware that they don't act on themselves or fall on themselves. The original bill say that the committee manages the affairs of the association. That means, and I'll come to my next concern. Trying to make a link between that clause as well as the constitutions. Because in the Act, it literally can result in the fact that if I'm elected, today by the CPA, then I run the CPA. I have complete mandate. I don't need to consult with anyone of you who have elected me, because this closes the committee of which I'm a member, which I have elected, manage the affairs of the association. Now, my concern with this epigram to you, Chair, should there not be a link about between that and the Constitution? You know, reference to the Constitution, because one imagine the Constitution of the CPA will clearly define the size of the committee, the responsibility in terms of office bearers, etc. You know, so that there is that particular link, because there should not be such a committee, and then the committee does not crystallize within the in the Constitution. Chair, I'm trying to find some link of accountability between this committee elected to assist with managing the association, to managing the affairs of the association, and the constitution of the CPA, because as it is now currently, this CPA is not empowered in terms of that clause to recall Andrew Mandela, who would be elected as a committee member. But that would probably be in the constitution. Now, that's what I'm saying. And I'm just thinking about there should be some form of a link between that and the constitution, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I need to believe the Honourable Mandela has earlier suggested that we qualify that committee to be the executive committee. And I go along with that suggestion, Chair, because there may be many other committees, even before starting committees. Already some of them have been talked about the Finance Management Committee, not staff committee. So there will be many committees. So as to be clear what committee we're talking about, as a matter of public respect, the executive committee I support. But knowing this kind of discussion, Chair, we have got so many dimensions, maybe 2030, that our legal team would have had the views raised, and therefore in submitting the A list and so on, and then make the appropriate adjustments. Chair, there's also an issue of English there raised by Honourable Matthias. I agree with him entirely. I don't know much also about the three ships, but certainly it cannot be right that you have it cannot be right that you have got the three associations in just such a short sentence. Yeah? The committee means the committee elected by members of that association to assist the association to manage the affairs of that association. So clearly, being the association, that's the important one. So clearly, the formulation in terms of just the formulation. Remember, we're making laws according to our highest professional linguistic ethic, and certainly that formulation. Clearly it was not one sort of, clearly it just violated the rules of language. Before any of the language can come in stupidity too. So I support all of Matthias' suggestion. But Chair, having said that, the original definition, I do not know, Chair, what is it that we seek to achieve by this definition as departing from the principle as that the committee means a committee elected by members of the association to manage the affairs of that association. So in my proposal, to say executive committee, that's what would be fundamentally distinct and qualifying now, the executive. Because in the principle as it was just the committee. So now we will then be allocating also at the paper format, it says the motivation of the high-level panel about the executive and non-executive committees. So if you say executive committee, you're integrating fairly and nicely one of the recommendations from the I-11 plan, and that seems to define power, be they executive or otherwise. That committee chair, for all intents and purposes, is executive. There's my last commentary on it. The Honourable Mandela talked about that committee's temptation to then usurp its powers. I thought that somewhere in the bill, we're talking about a generic constitution that will be made. In those generic constitutions, I cannot see such good gentlemen like Azubeja Masala not putting in a clause that's defining the powers of the executive committee in those general constitutions. Across the country, all these people, these CPAs, would be having these bodies that whose powers they're not sure, that whose powers would be open to abuse. And certainly, it would be very reckless on all our part, all of us in the room, if clearly in that general constitution there is no specific provision for the powers of that executive committee, as different from other committees. That's my suggestion, Chair, and perhaps I'll be very patient. We can discuss it till come home to roost. But ordinarily, I would be proposing that we proceed, but I'll be very patient. I'll have another take if you want to discuss it.
There were proposals that were made by Honorable
Chairperson, there's a couple of things that came up a little bit, and I think it's all valid. I'm just trying to take a stab at potential other wording, and I would suggest we use the wording committee means a committee elected by members of an association to manage its affairs on its behalf in terms of its constitution. To manage its affairs on its behalf, that covers member Bokani's point, in terms of its constitution, that it must be defined in the constitution and its fewer associations in there. Chair, might I add, has been real trouble because those three ships that were being referred to, in fact 17th century Dutch at the time, it wasn't English, so we've been real trouble.
Why the discussion of the committee? There were proposals that were made. Honorable Walter proposed that if we can insert the way in terms of the legislation or constitution, then second proposal that we are taking the executive committee. But I'm not sure that will be to another level and also that will affect the consequences. But after the issue of the finance committee was raised in the high level panel, not in the act. There was a proposal that there's a need for the finance management committee, but not in the amendment or in the principal act or in the amendment. Then the second proposal was the proposal that we put the word executive committee instead of the committee. Then the other proposal was the issue of the tutelage. I think that drafting rules and regulations, if you don't know, they will clarify that. Well, that's really in English. But I think when drafting, maybe can be different from what we understand English. It's saying too much association, we put it, too much it again. You know, otherwise, if it's too much it, can you guide us? But if it's not a danger for the association, there will be too much it. It means that let it be with the association, because you can't correct association with it. You correct association with it. Then what is the difference? So can we just look at also that advocate Jerusalem, Mr. Mjikane, and
Madam Chair, on the suggestions, I think that the suggestion that made on whether that the committee definition could be linked to the constitution, I think that it's a gap in the process. We can simply refer to the committee that consists in terms of its committee. And if you look at item 18 of the schedule for the principal act or the bill, it talks about that committee, its election, its powers, okay. So reference the constitution of the association in the definition is defined. Can say committee appointed in terms of the constitution, representing the constitution of the association. So that should be fine. But with regard to the topology, I think it's a drafting matter. If I can put it to members, if you, for instance, we say committee means the committee by members of the association to assist. So let's say we say it to assist it to manage the affairs of its affairs. Now, if you say it, it's not going to be you are talking about the committee or the association. Because you use two titles there.
Mm.
So, in our view, it's better to leave it as it is. Because then you're making it clear that there's the committee, there's the association. With that different things.
Mm.
So, if you say it, now you're confusing whether is it it which one? Which one? Is it the committee or the association? So, I think it's better to leave it the way it's represented in terms of affairs. Because it is clear that which one that one. But as I said, the reference to the constitutional position in the definition of the committee, that will make us look better. As the executive, it will be a new intention, as I'm saying, with the choice that the committee has. But then it means that then we must, in the body of the bill, we must make controversial amendments to talk about remaining item 18 that we spoke about. We must talk about the executive committee. But that to me suggests that it's one of the committees.
Mm.
And if it's executive, then it means there are other committees. So as we have indicated that there's only one committee in the bill on the principal act, I don't know. But whatever is printed in November, it doesn't make much. It doesn't make much difference in my understanding.
Lady, I'm also agreeing with what my colleague has said. Perhaps it is the proposal that we could add in the word and may lead us follow committee means a committee elected by members of an association in terms of a constitution to assist the association to manage how it proposed its affairs would also clarify the language.
Chairperson, my view on the matter is that we could, from a technical perspective, go and suggest 2 to 3 suggestions which will go into the final committee amendment, taking into account all of the feedback that we got from the moment. The whole issue of bringing the constitution, adding a committee, and then with the total
motion.
That's a
proposal for committee.
Chair, I'm very happy with that. I think it's also consistent with the feedback we got from the O-level panel. Just, you raised the issue of the financing or the finance management committee you raised. Is that included in this proposal as a something to include in definitions and formulation? I just wanted to check, is that going to be looked at as well?
I think it can be, maybe what we should be doing is to say we leave it as committee, in the definition, but in the body of the NPPP, where it talks about appointment, when we talk about appointment of committee, then giving that position the power to form more than one committee, whether the finance, the legislative committee, or so, but it becomes any of those committees becomes a committee in time anyway. So what we think you're doing is to enable the person to appoint the committee or committee as it is, which should appear in the item 13 of the schedule to the act in the paper.
I agree with them, which that it does require the committee to form subcommittees as needed to facilitate the decision.
There was an issue about
The reason why we put the way that is precisely to make the point that the committee does not have absolute power to manage that. It does that in behalf of the committee. If I can give an example, in relation to the point of the board to generate that if you say at least they can come and you know, if they do it, they will not come. As an example, if you look at the constitution, in relation to the appointment of deputy minister, it only says the person to assist the minister. It doesn't give them any other job. It says to assist the minister. And maybe they may not make a better foundation, because sometimes it gives the right to contribute between ministers and deputy ministers, but that's what the constitution basically says, to assist the minister. So that in our view, does not like, give them an option that they want to work or not, because the power is not absolute. It gives them a responsibility. That's what I'm understanding. Christine said that they don't have absolute power to manage. They do that to assist the situation with the principal responsibility of the system. That is another reason. But if it sounds like the power has been watered down, I don't think doing away with that really and replacing the principle, the definition of the principle, that will not present again. If we go with that waiting experience, we don't change the problem. It is back then to the old definition as indicated by mention.
But doesn't
they
want to, or what
the
committee
needs
not want to do is that the committee is being given more powers as they were doing currently.
That's what we
don't want to see. So which way can just limit their powers? Because the challenge is that way presented to the committee out there was that the executives are running the show leaving the beneficiaries or the members of the association they have. Because when you give the executives the committee more power, that they're not solving the problem that the members of the association are experiencing out there. They have to limit these powers.
Honorable Matias, or Honorable Mr. Nelson, Honorable Mr. Nelson. Well, Mr. Nelson, I think I agree with you. And I hope Honorable Mr. will also agree with you. But the spirit of the bill is to safeguard the original powers of the association. But they remain with the association, with the members. Two, they should not be usurped by the committee. Now, in the choice of where to use, and I guess this is what the drafting committee had in mind, that original power should be restored, should be regarded, should be located with association members, and should not be usurped by any form or by any means. So I tend to agree that we should leave as is the way as is. Secondly, we should leave the committee as is without inserting an executive in order to achieve the objective of the bill and to safeguard the original powers of the association with its members.
I also read in what this red-clad gentleman is saying. When I say that, I mean to say that there could be problems. It says that we seem to be, whilst we are correctly preoccupied with trying to correct what has been done by committees of study aids, but it should not so overwhelm us to the extent that we forget what is called in law the reasonable man. Now, the reasonable committee would always understand that they are doing their performing their functions on behalf of and at the instance of and for the benefit of the association. And that's why I opted for all other English terms. That's why I opted for the term on behalf of, because it draws them their attention to the fact that they get their money, their instructions, their power from the association. So I, unfortunately, I'm not really persuaded by his sweet tongue, so to speak. I still prefer the word on behalf of. Because it's very something, it's very clear. Thank you, Chair.
In other words, you're telling me that you agree with the proposal that we leave the way committee as it is, but you're still insisting that instead of us, we put on behalf.
I agree with Honourable Fultani's remarks. I think that's good. You can place down. Thanks. Yeah.
I often get difficulty with the procedure, Chair. The procedure was that we made comments, all of us, and then we checked these comments against the three members of the legal team. They gave a feedback. After Advocate Jekane had given the reflection, Chair, you tested it as the opinion and that of an opinion. I just think that, Chair, perhaps we are going back to reopen the discussion, and then we may be compelled to go back to them again. You know. The proposal by the Advocate Nash was that they will consider all the submissions and motivations made, and then go and do the drafting accordingly. I therefore suggest that we follow exactly that. The word submissions, I don't want to repeat him, he put it quite well. So I just want to suggest, Chair, that maybe that would just be the note on which we should have ended it. But I know it's within our power to reopen if we want to reopen. But ultimately, the decision taken to refer matters to them, to then go and tighten up through a drafting that would have captured all the input.
Let's agree that
our
leaders must put their heads together and look at all the proposals that were made, and for our next meeting, they present their proposals and we take it from there. Let's move to the next.
Madam Chair, I rise to propose that we delete labor tenant.
My suggestion on this item is in line with the substantive discussions we held day before yesterday and yesterday on the meaning of the community, to which, in terms of the discussion, we were of the view that overwhelmingly the community should revert to the general meaning of community, if you like the dictionary meaning of community, the people living in a certain area sharing resources, culture and all.
faith, culture, and all. And therefore, for purposes of this act, that for me, when I said to Honourable Matthias, I thought that we could then necessarily cut out community because there will be no specific provision relating to community. If I am correctly reflecting the discussion of yesterday and of Tuesday, Chair. So we wouldn't need community, we would be having a committee and we would be having the integrated or otherwise. And then we would be having the association. And therefore, the role of the community is not relevant in that sense. Because we are referring the functions and the tasks to either the executive department, the committee, or the association as a whole. And therefore, community would remain as a community as is generally known by all and sundry. Then, the issue raised by my colleague just to interact on the labor tenants is on a separate page, Chair. Maybe when we go there, if Matthias is comfortable, I'll say he's before his time. There was a nice phrase he put, but to mean that when we are on definition G on the next page, Chair, then there will be a discussion on the labor tenants. And at that point, I think he can make suggestions, probably to which we might seek to buy in. But as things stand, Chair, to be super clear, we do not need the community. I think all our legal minds read us very loud and clear when we discussed yesterday and Tuesday. We do not need the community. So if it's there in the definition, I wonder to serve what purpose, to refer to what substance in the context. Remember, definitions are definitions in relation to the context.
Well, coming to the definition of the labor tenant, at the same time, while discussing the issue of the labor tenant, when looking at the object of this bill, we must also not align it to the object of this bill. That the proposal that we elect.
I don't agree that we should delete the definition of community. Very much part of the subject of the communal property association. Very much part of that. We have to define what community is in the context of the bill. Because elsewhere in the presentation over the last 2 days, we're told that the community we seek to define is not in all material terms homogeneous. So if we delete the definition community, we run the risk of assuming that we're dealing with a homogeneous community, which for the purpose of this bill, we should not even define. So let's define it. We may agree or disagree on how we define it, but it's important we define it because it's an integral aspect, an essential aspect of the bill itself. If we have to balance what communal is as well as community. But in the context of a proper definition of that which we define or we seek to define as community, we ought to have a definition for community.
Thank you, Chair. And in fact, in support of what Honourable Matthias has just said, if you just turn the page and you look at some of the actions that have got to be taken or performed by the Minister, you'll find that there is precise reference to what is called a community. And if we do away with the definition of a community, we may never be able, this is, I'm talking specifically about page 4, number 2, where it says the Minister may, that's how the sentence starts, then tells you that community as contemplated in paragraphs D, E, F, G.
Now, if there is no definition of a community, how would the minister know who to afford, you know, those rights? And if we don't define it, how would you know where to start and where to end? So I don't see how we would even begin to think of not defining the community. Next thing will expose the minister to a situation that our legal advisor spoke of, you know, yesterday. But the minister may be tempted to do things which are not quite proper. We'll be opening the floodgates. We must define the community. Thank you, sir.
There are two proposals. The first one was to delete the definition of the community altogether. The second one is that we maintain the definition. There are lots of reference that are made to that to the minister awarding the land to the community. Honorable Roberts and then the Liverpool.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. I'm again inclined to agree with Honourable from time to get. I mean, if we need to refer to persons that are affected by a particular property, as it says Section 2 and 6, how else would we refer to people that have been affected by community property organisation? What other terms would be used? We cannot say community. The simple basis is, as Honourable Fultani says, it is referred back to so many other times. While Honourable Fultani was speaking, I picked up four or five different areas where the word community is used, so I think community must stay.
Another one,
Ngoni, then
somebody.
It's just unfortunate, Chair, when we discuss, we seem to be talking the past each other. Let me repeat a point I was making. Unfortunately, my colleagues just didn't even bother to come close to me to respond, because I could buy in if they want to respond. The point I was making was that, one, yesterday and the day before, we discussed this notion of a community, and we overwhelmingly cannot be an individual, felt that the notion to talk about a community clouds the issue about the association and its committee. That would be the group of 8-9 people. I remember the language of yesterday and the day before. Now, these are the people you want to talk about. You want to talk about the minister doing, exercising certain responsibilities in relation either to that whole set of 48 people, I'm just giving it a number, or in relation to the 8-9 people. Now, the 8-9 persons become a committee, whether you say exactly or not, the legal team will help us there. The 48 people or the farm totality of beneficiary then become, or claimant, then become the association. Unfortunately, my colleague, the woman trying to debate you, so that we find the common ground in our conversation.
There's no one there now.
Now, the chair, the sum totality of the people to be affected, we were discussing the principles yesterday and the day before at length, and we felt that if you say community, okay, let me also go there. It's drawn that wisdom from the submissions from the people who were saying, it looks like the department now wants to take our privilege at these 48 people or rights and carry it to a community of residents of 200 people or 2,000 people. That's the public hearing house that came. So yesterday we were fine-tuning to say the community in the general sense would not be the focal point. The community would remain the community in the general sense. But the focal point, the minister would exercise duties in relation, in relation to these people who are called the association. So there was this clarity emanating from public hearings, what people are saying, if you say community, you are taking away that which belongs to those of us who were identified as beneficiaries. You are taking it now to the whole village, if you say community, because that village still remains community. So that was the discussion, Chair. I would have thought that really colleagues have a right to a different view. But in the response, we seem to be talking to one another, because this is what is lacking now. We raise this point, but not in response to one another. It's good to respond to one another, because some of us are open-minded, because we then are able to craft a common ground, or kind of get us a common ground. So I'm just saying, Chair, the exercise of duties, if I may talk to the solo part to be done by the minister, would be the exercise to the CPA and to the executive. So that function would not be lost. But the community that was talked about by the department, which we rejected, I think if you ask Advocate Rama, he knows very well, we did reject yesterday and the day before, which we rejected, was clouding the issue, because it then clouds the beneficiaries, because community becomes everyone else, you know. So that is that, Chair, but be that as it may, I will rest it there, at least my conscience will be clear that I reminded everyone about the evolution of the proposal, therefore to stretch out the community. Because I'll be consistent when I go to that section that Honourable Pizani is proposing, I'll be consistent and suggest that we don't say community, we say association, or we say executive. Thank you. So that function is not lost at all from the minister.
Chairperson, I hear what the problem is there. Can I suggest that the section that we look at, where the comments were heard, can we still deal with it in the similar manner that we dealt with the previous section, that the wording is looked at by our legal people? On the one hand, you don't want to, you can't narrow it down to the extent where it becomes insignificant for the people that are entitled to be covered by this. I understand that concern. At the same time, also, if you have it so wide that it causes problems at a later stage, I think that's a legitimate point as well. So I think I think we will probably come up with a formulation, something along the line of community, and then tightening it up in terms of the section below that. Like for example, there's an attempt to do a community means a group of persons, including those within this concept in section 2.6, that sort of narrows it, whose rights to a particular property are determined in its by shared rules under written constitution, and then it proceeds to say, and which wishes or is required to form an association as contemplated in section 2. Now, that does look like a potential, on the face of it, looks like a potential contradiction. How can you have rules under the constitution, we haven't formed the association yet.
Mm.
You know, so I think we need to just look at rephrasing that in such a manner that, you know, I think we can probably find common ground there with the reformulation. But it does become hazy to me as well, community, if you refer to shared rules under written constitution and then say which wishes or is required to form the association as contemplated in. You don't have shared rules, you know, so it seems contradictory. So I think one must keep the word community, but how we define it, to be absolutely clear in that regard, I think that's what maybe needs a bit of work.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to stick with my points, and this is why. First, you have the community, and then, by voluntary association, you have an association. When we talk of prostitution, we are not talking of prostitution to an association. We talk of prostitution to a community.
So we cannot wish away, you know, what is called the association, because this is the fundamental of the whole thing. It's a community, that's where we start. So we need, for the benefit of smooth administration by the minister, we need to define, therefore, a community. That's the first point. The second point is that if you look at section 2 of the bill, 218, says the provisions of this act shall apply to a community which by order of the land claims court or any other competent court, blah blah blah, where the court has ordered restitution on condition that an association be formed with the provisions of this act. But if you go further to 2E, now there it says which any property has been donated, to which any property has been donated by the community, has been donated, sold or otherwise disposed of by any other person, where the minister has approved such community in terms of section 2. So again, the minister starts from the basis of a community, a defined community, on condition that an association be formed in accordance with the provisions of this act. This strengthens my argument that you can't move away from a community because people volunteer to form themselves into an association. Otherwise, we'll be forcing people out unintentionally, out of qualifying for this, in the moment they say, I'm not interested in becoming a member of the association. Then, even if they are a community that has been given land there, but just because they're not interested in becoming members of an association, therefore, they don't fall in for any form of beneficiation. They have to become members of the association. But an association is based on a community. So we can never be able, legally speaking, to run away from community. We have to have it. And as I said last chair, for smooth administration, we have to, the minister has to have a community defined so that when he identifies them. In fact, when I read through this 3 times last year, I even thought that I could have the guts to approach the minister for my own village in Barra. But then I said, we don't quite qualify. We are a community, but we don't qualify in terms of the act as it is, even the old act. And then I withdrew. I was about to say to the people in my village, I think we qualify for this. But because of the definition of community, your history, then you can't just take anybody onto the television.
My single concern is the leakage. Recipients or beneficiaries can go to programs through communities, not just any community. That leakage is not very, very clearly indicated there. If one looks at a leader section that speaks to the whole issue of what Honorable Plutani was raising now, the community decides voluntarily to form an association. The sequence of events is not like that. It is where beneficiaries or lands are being executed to people. People then have the right to form an association. So they first benefit. You know, they are beneficiary of a government program. You know, even when it's land that has been donated, the same thing. So I know from a sociological background that the whole issue of benefits is linked to welfare, and we are not always keen to have that kind of an association. So I'm not quite sure that there's been a reason why the issue of benefits, beneficiaries are not included, but there ought to be some kind of a link between those two concepts. So one would probably want to say a beneficiary community.
That makes a lot of sense to me. But I'll say again, Chairperson, that not all end results of restitution case must only lead to the formation of CPA. Because, and that's one some of the mistakes that we made in the past, where people claim land and we say, form a CPA. And all these people actually had individual titles. So you would take people who were having a high level of land ownership, and then you take them to something that I regard as a lower level of property ownership, or you go to consult with everybody who is a participant. So, and the other is, you know, people can have, you can have this land and decide not to own it communally. We'll settle this thing, all I want is just 5 hectares, my yard, plus you add 2 hectares, I'll be fine. I don't want to participate in all these things that, you know, we've got to, you know, I want my own personal ownership of this land, but I lost the title. We're not removed as a community, we're removed as property owners. So, that would be different from when the community get together, when we are saying we were removed as a group, as a village. The village was removed to give this land so that the government can build a dam. And when we were removed, we didn't have individual titles. We were a community. Now, if that whole community is to be brought back, let's say we claim that land, when we removed to a particular community across the river, you know. But when you say giving this land to the community, you're not meaning the community that we were moved to. We're talking about those who were moved in the past. That when they cross the river back to their land, they will, you know, they can form that community. They can own that land community because none of them had a title deed to their piece of land. You know. So we can't just take the community out of the definition, but we need to say, to define it further in terms of restitution or this, land reform.
The earlier point by Honorable Walter covered there about 80% of my view, and I'm just re-emphasizing for the legal team to really capture this. Under this definition of community, Honorable Walter so well captured the contradiction in that definition. Because these people have a set of rules, but these people are still intending to be an association, you know. So there was a contradiction that you highlighted nicely there. But counterpoint with bottom of page 3, Chair, Minister approves that community in terms of subsection 2, and on condition that an association be formed in accordance with the provisions of the Act. So these are approved community on condition that an association be formed. All the more confusion. So this community, from that other clause, why do we still visit it, but just to juxtapose to get a meaning of this one. So this community is a preliminary stage before they are formed into an association. That 55 is much clearer and very, very nice. I keep on going back to public hearings because you want to capture the mood and the spirit of the people there. The people were saying, it's like you want to take our power to own and you want to throw it into the entire community. Okay. I have accepted when I was thinking about it, when I was noting some confusion, that history will judge us harshly for just failure to link what we heard from the people and when we sit here now in the bottom. I really accept that history will judge us because now we seem to be lost. We are now just reading English and no longer linking it to the. Before Honorable Madela, I think, covered all of us, but that's the point I want to support. There will be a day in court. Yeah, in that day in court, I don't know when it will be, but there will be such a day, not caused by this, but natural cause of events. In that day, there will be a community as we know it. Among Barango City, Kulu as an example. A community as we know it. A people of a particular geographical abode. Right. And then there will be the community. Maybe complaining that a project which is a community also is encroaching on their water, on their whatever. Right. That's a community. There will be then this community we are defining here, which is different from the community in the conventional sense, which is the point I was defending that. Let's not turn all the definition in a conventional understanding of a community. There will be then this community which will be creating that. And then there will be a battle of the community. So in this scenario, why would you want to call a group of people a community? When in actual fact it's clear what a community is. This, they were talking about this community there, and my community of Palmerston, that's a community. But having said that, Chair, I want to firmly support and still check if my colleagues are not covered by Mandela's suggestion. He says, call it a beneficiary community. So it's clear what community you are referring to. It covers me in terms of the public hearings where the people are saying, no, all our privilege is being taken away and spread across the broad community. So Honorable Mandela talks about beneficiary community. And for me, that qualification is just spot on. Which beneficiary community is a step before they become an association? And that's why Honorable Walters uncovered me, because I was telling that condition as well, that there seems to be a contradiction. And I don't know, Chair, I would rest today and think that for drafting an amendment purpose, it is clear that maybe if we say if we say beneficial community, we are very clear what we mean. Thank you.
Considering the issue of the committee, also consider the issue of the community, the definition, vis-a-vis the issues as raised by members, because again, it has been raised several times, almost in all the public hearings. People are complaining that, are you saying that if there's a CPA in a community, those members of the community who are not beneficiaries are part of the CPA? So I think it should be just, you should be able to differentiate, because an ordinary community does not have a written constitution. There's no constitution in Banwane that is guiding us, you know. We're just a community living together, you know. But there's no constitution or community constitution that is guiding us. So I think that's what the concern that has been, that is what we want this amendment to address, that there should not be a confusion between a community and an association. An association is those members who have been restituted land, who are beneficiaries. But not if those members are within, or the land is within the EAA, it doesn't mean that all members of the community are part of the association. I think that was the concern that has been raised in all the public hearings. Can you please consider that in why you'll be presenting it? You look at the issue of the beneficiary community or whatever, and you'll come and make the proposal again when we meet in the next meeting. Honorable Walters.
You need to clarify.
Chairperson, I think that in my mind, what we're talking about is the people, the group of people, set of individuals, whatever persons, yeah, the group of persons that you refer to, in terms of whatever legal process, whether it's to land claims or as explained elsewhere in the legislation, have rights. They have rights on a particular piece of land. So I think I personally like the beneficiary community kind of terminology. But what we're talking about is a group of people with rights. Presumably the association's constitution will further define those rights and how it gets exercised in a particular context. I'm happy to support your suggestion that we'll have to look at reformulating that. That's just my particular take on it. Also, and again, this is a legal interpretation that at the end of the day we need to consider, and I think it's something we should look at. It says here, community is a group of persons, including labour tenants, contemplated in the section 3.6, whose rights to a particular property are determined by shared rules under written constitutions. Now, is that wording correct? Isn't it a court of law or a restitution process that determines your rights? The constitution regulates the exercising of those rights. Is that the word determined, shouldn't it read, or regulated by she whose rights to a particular property are regulated, or whatever the correct legal term is, by shared rules? Is it it's not the association's constitution in itself that determines your rights? Those rights you get from a court of law, you get it from a constitution, a country's constitution. So if you can just maybe check that particular wording as well. I'm not suggesting it's a problem. I just want to be satisfied that there's not some kind of a potential conflict arising there in the future as well.
Thank you, Jonathan. We will certainly look at the different suggestions made and then come up with what we believe should be the best solution. But if I can just make one point, maybe just to provide a context. If we delete the insertion of this definition in the bill, what it means is that the definition in the principal act remains. This is the definition of community in the principal act. That's what it means in the first place. We will not be doing away with the definition of community. It has been defined there in the principal act. What we are doing, we are inserting it because we made changes to it, in particular with regard to labor tenure. Now, we agree that if we agree or we accept that labor tenants are taken care of anyway, even in the absence of this definition, we can delete the intention. But what it means, we will not take the bill, we will not take the definition in the bill. That means that the definition in the principal act will continue to apply. That's the point I want to make. But that definition in the principal act will still have the way as determined by the Schengen Convention. Now, the reason, whether that is a contradiction or not, it is that one way of explaining the community, but it must be read together with Section 2 of the Act, that is to that section. To which community does this text apply? It's not each and every community. It is only the community that is referred to in Section 2. Now, if you look at Section 2, it tells you that this is a beneficiary community. If you look at it clearly, it tells you that these are persons who are the beneficiaries. But it's not mean that in the wording itself, the definition, it tells you in the body of the Act that this is indeed. Section 2 seeks to further clarify the beneficiary community. So it's doing that in the body, rather than doing that in the definition. In essence, I don't think there will be anything wrong with defining it as a beneficiary community. We can do that. But it will simply take it to section 2 that tells you what or which is a beneficiary community to which this applies. I think indicated correctly, it is not each and every community to which this act applies. It's only the community that is entitled to from a CPA, as indicated under section 2.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the input by the learned advocate. As you say, of the word beneficiary, which is kind of definitive in its own, I rather than say qualifying or qualified.
they qualify for the benefit. Because we're talking about potential beneficiaries. We're not talking about a community that are already benefiting. That is the difference between beneficiary community and qualified community. It's a community that qualifies for beneficiation. But if you say beneficiary, you are already locking them into the basket of the community that's going to benefit, that benefits. Thank you.
I think I made the ruling on this matter, but advocate one of the better downsides that you must not agree with the definition community, not make it to section 2. Just qualifying which community are we talking about, not an ordinary, not any other community, but a community that is identified in section, all the communities that are identified in section 2. Whether we use qualified or beneficiary, but I think it must be just an eye-opener, that must not be the way to call the definition community in isolation with section 2. But
okay, thank you very much. Just for something that happened, but it's also related to the definition here. Is there a difference between the emphasis between the definition, how it's defined in the agreement and how it's defined in the Act? In the Act, the issue of the wishes of the beneficiaries or the community is the first point. They wish to be to have their shared or to be part of their association, etc. But in the amendment, it speaks to something different. It says that that those rights are determined by shared. You know, so maybe my reading is wrong, Chair, but one gets the sense that in the original Act, the main Act, it's the issue where the community, the group of persons, come together and decide that we want, I'm a landowner now, but I want this right to be part of the rest of the group. You know, I want to share it with others, Chair. And we then decide to form an association, etc., you know, developing the shared rules, but it is my wish to do so. But in the amendment in relation to section 2.6, I wish to, my reading again of this, means that section 2.6 is just brought into the picture. But the rest of it relates to what has been there in the Act. But it says here whose rights to a particular property are determined by a shared rules. And not that I wish to have my rights to be determined Here it says the original is determined which wishes to have its rights determined by shared rules. You know, the wish is before the determination, but in the amendment, the determination is before the shared rules. Now, in my reading, there seems to be a change of emphasis. Say, it gives a complete new meaning. I again want to indicate I'm a lawyer. This is how I interpret that particular clause. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Chair, thank you. From the committee side, they say for persuasion by all of the federations. After the well-supported submission by Parliament Mandela about the beneficiary community, there seems to be consensus, Chair, save for Quality Internet Persuasion, that maybe you qualify it somehow not the beneficiary community. I thought that, Chair, that position of our matter was then taking good care of us. As the risk share of irritating the department, but I also want to place it on record. I'm really, whenever the stage is the one it usually are, and the committee discusses and shows it back to your department. Because from public admin perspective and even legal, you see the minority judgment in the region over, which is still a grey area. 10 years down the line in South Africa, it should be well defined, both in public admin and in practitioner circles. I'm worried that after committee discussions, we chose back to the departmental leader. I'm really, really worried about that. If it's a minority position, I will live with it and give to judge after appointment. But I'm worried about that, absolutely. Public admin, separation of powers, a very, very clear thing. A strong one. I was doing another bill, Chair, as also my business. Advocate, Michael Quinn, kept on saying whenever I wanted to consult and get opinion, as long as we were clear about the separation of power and the role of parliament, and as an MP, that to the extent to which you can consult, that line is not blurred. So we'll discuss and we'll keep showing there. It's a good thing. I might be irritating and I will win the rest of the Utadu Ramasala and think that everyone will have school. But I think you can hear what I'm saying, that there's a political principle and governance principle about what I'm raising, as we discuss. I do not know the views of the other legal committees. You can't, the department explain everything. For me, it's time for them to just track how we're discussing, ably supported by the parliamentary legal support at this stage, you know. That would be my view. It might be wrong, but I think it's well thought. Even public admin and all. The bill is at our stage now. Whatever stage, back to the point you asked, I support the idea of a beneficiary committee. That's all.
I think they're looking at that. We give the legal aspect, the money to consider this matter. But what I also want to emphasize to members is that we can't avoid the participation of the department. But they're not taking decisions on behalf of the committee. They clarify issues. They have to clarify issues. If there is a misunderstanding, members want clarity, they clarify, but we've got our legal unit. That is why we're saying they must go and look at the issues and come and advise the committee. But the committee is the one that must take the final decision. But we can't avoid the participation of throughout the process, because if there are matters of clarity, our legal group, they just advise them. But also, if there's a need for the department to clarify, not to take decisions. It's a committee, the bill is at the committee now. The committee must process it. They're just participating to clarify, not taking a decision. After they have clarified the matter, it's up to us as a committee whether we agree with what they are saying or we don't agree.
But Honourable Guni makes a point about overreach, and this is not for the second time. I might sound also irritated or annoying to you. Maybe at some point we need to two things. As a committee, we need to go for a retreat and go for an induction of policy formulation. Perhaps you have to consider that. Or you have to subject these views to some tests, so that never again you will rise on another similar matter. You will have to put it on some test. Or thirdly, you will have to reign over him, even if it's an ANC ship. You will have to exercise your powers to reign over honorable code. So that's the three proposals I'm making for purpose of progress. But I want to make a point, just a final point, whatever the legal team is going to look at the definition of the community, they must do as good by not including the phrase labor tenant.
Let us give them that opportunity to look at the definition and present their conclusion. They will take it from there. Otherwise, if we go back again to the discussion, can we proceed on our amendments? We will send a letter to them to look at this and make some proposals. Then the committee will take the decision based on the proposals that they will be presenting. But if it does appear that they must not be wanting to provide, let them come with a proposal. Then present it to the committee. The committee discusses to agree or disagree, then we take it from them.
Okay, then from number 3, move to page 3. The city of Rocha, the definition of the actual.
It's a D by the insertion after the definition of constitution of the following definitions. CPA office means the communal property association's office contemplated in section 2B and its regional offices. Department means the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. E by the deletion of the definition of holding of property in common. F by the deletion of the definition of interim committee. G by the insertion of the definition of interim committee of the following definition. Labour tenant means a labour tenant as defined in section 1 of the Land Reform Labour Tenants Act 1996, Act number 3 of 1996. H by the deletion of the definition of provisional association. I, by the substitution for the definition of register of the following definition, register means the register contemplated in section 2DD. J, by the insertion after the definition of register of the following definition, registrar means the registrar of communal property associations contemplated in section 2C1. K, by the deletion of the definition of registration officer, and L, by the substitution for the definition of similar entity of the following definition. Similar entity means a trust as contemplated in the Trust Property Control Act 1988, Act number 57 of 1988, a cooperative as contemplated in the Cooperatives Act 2005, Act number 14 of 2005, or any other recognized association of persons or a company registered in terms of the Companies Act 2008, Act number 71 of 2008.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, can we look at the CPA office definition? Any comments? Agreed? Department? Any comments? You must just indicate on the record so that tomorrow, whenever we travel in, better look at the day, who might take the eighth office, then you can also be there. Honorable
Chair, I support the D, and then I definitely very strongly, there will be no reigning, let everyone be clarified, there will be no reigning as we discuss matters here of a theoretical perspective. It can't be reigning in, it can't be, so that no one ever raises that mischief ever again. I vehemently think that that holding of property in common is absolutely necessary, taking from the submissions of the people that they being reduced to being managers. So
So why do we need to delete? Because the basis of these people, they are holding the property in common. They have an association fundamentally and basically for that specific purpose to hold this mutually, communally, hold property in common. For goodness sake, why would you wish to delete that? So I'm very much opposed to that division contained by each chair. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. It messes with the cries of the people. Because now you want them to remain, so to speak, you want them to remain just being managers. They will be holding and owning nothing, which later this again about part two today. Thank you.
Chairperson, just on the matter that Member Moody raised, I wonder if we can maybe revisit why the deletion of that clause was being proposed. Because there is such a thing in law as people owning property together. And what is the obstacle of that? Is it that should it remain? Should it be deleted? Or alternatively, should it be redefined? So, but I also see it's not, it's not one of the underlying sections, but I think we need to understand the logic here and certain kind of our minds.
Can it be explained? Because when reading it, the principle act, holding of property in common remains the acquisition, holding, and management of property by an association on behalf of its members in accordance with the terms of the Constitution. Yeah, in accordance with the terms of the Constitution.
Is it being removed because it's redundant given the rest of the legislation? Is there a particular reason behind it? I think that's really what I would like to know.
The only reason we maybe we can start by saying this goes to the substantive discussion that we had yesterday. It was the division was inserted because from the department's point of view we were trying to make it clear that the association is going to manage and administer CPA property. That was the move from the current position where this clause in particular, when it says hold, suggests ownership. It doesn't say hold, it simply says hold, acquire and hold. And then we're reading into that hold as well. And that's why there's an argument that by deleting this thing, we're taking away ownership. And the argument we'll be making is that we are taking ownership away from the legal entity, from the fictitious person, not from the community, which is the beneficiary, to make it clear that the owners are the beneficiaries, not the legal entity. But it appears that maybe we have not been able to convince the committee of our approach. I still get a sense that there is a strong view that the CPA property must remain owned by the CPA as defined, which is the legal entity. For that, we're trying to create a new emphasis that instead of just the legal entity only, it is mainly that it is the beneficiary that owns the property. Now, if the committee ultimately holds the view that the CPA entity must continue to own the property as provided for in the principal act. Then it means we must delete this negation. We must delete this deletion, basically. But if the committee at the end of the day agrees with the department that we want to shift to that entity, then it means we must leave it to delete it. So that's all it means. The reason why we deleted it, it was in support of the view that we want to shift the emphasis of ownership from the legal entity with the CPA to the beneficial community. But I must say that depends on, at the end of the day, what the committee decides on, substantively, on that issue that the chair proposed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
As I've been saying, this is one of the consequences of a proposed amendment which has been rejected by the committee in its discussion yesterday. Because the committee said that the community is not an entity, but the CPA is an entity formed by the community on behalf of the community. So the beneficiary decided to form a CPA, and therefore the CPA is an entity on behalf of the community. And it holds on behalf of the community, so the issue of ownership then is not confused, because the owners are also decided from an entity to hold the transaction. So then this was a consequence of the amendment which was proposed by the Ulster Committee yesterday at the end of June.
So it's simple that
if we were to proceed with the discussions yesterday, it would be that this decision then does not stand all the way. So that the position in the principal act remains as is of holding the property in common.
That was the explanation both from the department and the legal side, and also from the
chair. Thank you, Chair. Indeed, this is a congressional move, Chair. But I'm not quite sure the legal eagles are taking action by the legal front of us. It does seem very strange. This is a result of this being discussed. If this clause is not there, if it's not what you're saying, we don't say that. Let me stop then. Chair, I think the key thing for all of us, especially from the public hearings, the ownership, and I'm saying something that I'm not agreeing with, Chair, but I accept that we are not at that stage yet, should not be in the hands of any another party. It should be in the hands of the beneficiaries, in their names. Meaning, if land on the Honorable Matthias have been given to the labor tenants in the Rafir Summer End, then their names must appear in the register of deeds and the owners of that land. All 40 or 1,000 of them. Not the CPA. Remember, the CPA comes after the land has been awarded, Chair. Because the land is not awarded to the CPA. I'm just going to sequence now. But we're talking here, and Honorable Agatha has spoken yesterday about the issue of title deeds, Chair. So, and we have heard, I think it's in Japan, where a member of a CPA has said, well, the chairperson has signed a deal with some company and the land has been given back to the previous owner, you know, from which it has been bought, and sent to the Sweden. Very same owner has now the land back. Now, hence, if that land was in the name of all the beneficiaries, then it would not be possible for him to do so. But because it's in the hand of, in the name of one individual or an entity, a legal entity like the CPA, then those things is quite possible. I would want to see that. But the ideal would have been, if I may say this, if the land should be owned by the people, that the people mandate the state to own it on behalf of the people. But we are not there. We are still a few years from it.
Chair, I have absolutely no personal difficulty with the idea of private property rights, and I'm quite happy with that. I'm actually supporting what Member Madela is saying. One of the things we picked up is, you know, the situation where one or two people obtain control of the property via CPA, they sell it, they actually commit fraud. They actually sell land that's not theirs, but they somehow got to get a legal and abuse his fault. Now one can look at, I think this is something that a partner should be doing. You can actually charge people doing that with fraud. They must go to jail. That's one thing that should happen. But I think part of it is also closing down the space for this kind of thing to happen in the first place. So I think, look, I'm can hear the logic behind the deletion of the holding of property in common, because it can lend itself to that situation of people hijacking land for their own use that's not theirs. I can understand the logic there. I think my sense is that either we delete it or we look at another definition, but that the fact of the matter is there's a group of persons. Those persons have rights in the land, and you can't exercise, you can't take those rights away purely because somebody voted at a couple of years ago at the town election. And I think that's the kind of sentiment that I'm having. So maybe something to consider for the legal eagles would be either the deletion as been proposed. I'm satisfied with that, with an explanation. Alternatively, another formulation strengthening what we are talking about.
If Mr. Yoli Charlotte would like to raise to Honourable Member the section in the Principal Act which refers to the holding of property in common, which is why it was then necessary to define it in the Principal Act.
Okay.
It is section 8, the registration of association. It reads, the DG, which will now be replaced by register, shall consider an application for registration of an association together with any prescribed information, the report referred to in 7.2, and the contribution adopted by that association. It says an association shall qualify for registration if A, the provisions of this Act apply to the community consent, which is the CPA Act. 2, the association has in its main object the holding of property in common. So that's why then it was necessary to go and define it. That is take away or add any rights. It is just simply a matter of saying that an association must have a master's object, or the main object of that association, which is basically holding the property in common on behalf of the beneficiaries of the community.
Yes, the explanation, Honourable Members. All supports in the deletion. We are placing the definition as contained in the Principal Act not to maintain the amendment.
Chair, maybe what we should have done, we should have asked the technical support to summarize for us the discussions of yesterday and the day before, so that as we speak, we simply speak on the basis of the platform which we created, so that we have reference points. But good is not having happened. I don't know, because we're still far from the end, Chair. Maybe we may still, even at this stage, ask them, Chair, so that for the
future outward engagements. We're still on page 3 out of plus minus 33 pages. We get a summary of those discussions there, and we just forgotten as you go down 3 weeks what we have said. So that there's a reference point what in principle issues the committee had actually discussed and conducted and they actually found a position on. And then as we go, we simply refer and say in relation to what we have said in terms of the process, because now it's technical, the words by word and line by line and sentence by sentence and formulation by formulation. But having said that, Chair, with the wisdom that's drawn in that section and with the wisdom drawn from on point 8, the objective around Babut, but they want to hold that property. And it's good enough to agree with my colleague here, Honorable Walter, that he likes the idea of people holding property. I agree also with Honorable Madela that in the conjuncture, going forward into the long term, if my property might be held by some other means in society, yeah, it must be held by other means in society, but for now, it makes absolute sense. And therefore, Chair, just please, on behalf of these people who want to, if we've got to go to record, let's do so openly, colleagues, and say, what did people say? People were very weary about their ownership being taken away. And we were agreeing with them, because remember, we were interacting in those days. We were agreeing that no, your rights and your property mustn't be taken away. It must be strengthened and protected. So I think, therefore, Chair, that the idea about not deleting, the holding of property in common is a very, very important milestone. It's be and all. From where I see, it's one of the most profound issues to really defend. If I listen to the people well, and my conscience and both of our awareness, and your thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. And just taking from where our legal advisor stopped, page 7 of the deal, that's section 8. If you proceed then to subsection B of that section 8 on page 7 of the deal, that's where the crux of the matter that Honorable Mguni is talking about. Now, this means really that what we discussed yesterday, where we said, one, that we cannot regard the community as a juristic person, and therefore we can't say the community owns any property because it's not a juristic person. I think that was our understanding yesterday. Hence his suggestion that we have notes of what we discussed and agreed upon yesterday. And indeed, before the next session, we need to have that, so that we know what we have covered, what we have agreed upon, what we have said, if any. And I hope that, honestly, our secretary is, on the ball when it comes to that. So therefore, if we delete, we agree to the suggested deletion of that holding, of that term, holding property, in common. Therefore, it means that what was the sentiment that was so commonly expressed by people, that I'm taking away ownership, then it means we are, in time, if we agree that we should not delete that term of holding property in common, then we are bringing back what the people were saying, please don't take away from us. So my point is, community, because it's not a juristic person, cannot own. And then we're saying, even the association now, should not own. Because basically, this 8B is about that. It's specific that it says, you do the administration and management of property with no ownership.
unless somewhere in the bill, the ownership is actually the set, you know, expressly in the association. Now, I'm just saying that as a cautionary note, just in case there is a section where, you know, ownership of the property is actually expressly the set in the association. So we need to reapply our minds on that, because in considering the input by the department as well as our legal advisors and public network, for this function of making sure that what people express as a fear and a wish, you know, we bring it, you know, we factor that, those fears and wishes, into the bill. The last thing we want to do is to take away what people have always seen and regarded as their own, for no valid reason. Thank you very much.
Are we agreeing that it should be deleted, or are we agreeing that the deletion should not be deleted? That is part of what the term that we used earlier, beneficiary community, that owns it, and that right can't just arbitrarily be taken away. I think that's what I think we all agree on. But, so I'm just not clear whether what we agree to now.
Let me clarify.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we want to advance what we want to advance, and we all agree that the provision that property should be held in common by the association, which by extension the association means members who have voluntarily subjected themselves to the association. So property should not be held in the bourgeoisie. But we are in an egalitarian, progressive fashion, in common. That's what we said, it should not be deleted.
Thank you.
No, I'm trying to ask if Honorable One has gone, but he looks to have been turned up and see. It's a tricky one, and I think it's just right to pose the question. We are deleting the deletion, okay, so that the Honorable Phil Panel's point, we want to assure the people that their right to hold is protected. Am I right? So in other words, the whole submission by Honorable Phil Panel stands. In order to then have that submission of Honorable Phil Panel, then you don't need this deletion. Because if you delete all that Honorable Panel said falls away, right, by the deletion. So we seek to delete the deletion. But let me go to something else again, because the American mind, and because all disciplines have logic, and logic must be consistent. I mean, a science background, but the logic is one logic, it's one way of thought and consistency. This is the Constitution. Section 25 says, no one may be arbitrarily deprived of their property except by law and the general application, and then it goes on. Now, if this thing we didn't discuss with this, there seems to be overwhelming support to maintain it. If we didn't discuss, after the abstention of this act, I can tell this lawyer here, remember, law is all about applying thought in a coherent fashion. All about logic. If we didn't discuss and if we agreed with you and deleted that thing, the following day any NGO out of Section 27 or whatever would go and take government to court, and it would prove to be an arbitrary deprivation. It would be an arbitrary deprivation. So I'm just saying, Chair, for clarity's sake, there seems to be all consensus on this one. that we are bringing them back to the whole property in common. So in other words, we are deleting the division. Thank you.
Just on the direction of the particularly difficulty with the idea of holding property in common. It's not in itself. I mean, of course, they have a major problem with the evils of collectivism and the failures of the 20th century. I think that the very key issue that I think we have agreed on is that it's the members of the association who owns the property, it's not an association with a new legal entity. And I just suggest that we pick up on, I would say the holding, I want to see where it goes. I'm going to hold my reservations for now about the non-deletion of the division. But I think when we get to them late in the bill, I think we need to revisit this as well. Because I think it's the wording there, how it reads, I think we need to be absolutely clear that what we don't want to see, and I'm basing this on the submission that we have, is a situation where an association sells, people in an association somehow hijack the situation where they take away the property rights of individuals. And I think that's where I'm coming from. But the particular terminology, though, look, I don't see the words holding of property in common as a socialist right. It is a common term in law. I think what we need to watch is just how it consequentially plays out. And that is my concern from a drafting point of view. So that's where I'm standing.
Thank you, Chair.
Let's just be mindful of the fact that holding is, shall I say, equivalent to possession. I'm in possession of this, but that does not necessarily mean that, legally speaking, I'm the owner. And if our approach here, public rights, is to ensure actual ownership and place it on a certain institution, call it the CPA, if you like, then we need to be specific. So I'm saying to the drafters of the legislative bill, delete the deletion, that may not necessarily confer the real rights that come through actual ownership. You can hold something and even hold on to it, but you may not be the actual owner and have no real right. So when later in the bill, we talk about seeking permission from the minister to dispose of, a mere holder is different from an actual owner, does not even have that ab initio right to even say, I want to dispose of something that you may have been holding even unlawfully for that matter. So we need to be very specific in our thinking and our drafting here as to exactly what do we want to be done. Merely deleting the deletion may not necessarily give us what we are all advocating for. So we might have to go back and redraft so that our wish is specifically expressed in the bill. I thought I should just caution.
I support what Member Fultani is saying. I have no difficulty with the deletion of deletion, the logic there. You know, I'm worried about consequentially what is happening and whether it expresses what we want as a committee ultimately. And I would suggest that we, or either the deletion of the committee has expressed itself, and alternatively a definition there, replacing the definition that strengthens the ownership aspect, owning property in common, whatever that is. So I'm supporting what the Member Tupan is saying.
Members must not forget that this definition is from the Principal Act, not a new thing. The definition that was appearing in the Principal Act. So in the amendment was saying that definition will not, by the deletion, was saying the definition will not apply. We delete it. Yes. Not sure whether that is the whether it is with one sheet or with three sheets.
I agree with you, Madam Chair.
I agree with you. And I share the views with the Honourable Board that we must delete the proposed deletion. And we must stay away from what Honourable Sultan and Honourable Waters are trying to do. And I will explain what is it that you are trying to do. They want to further balkanize the country and make it difficult later in the future to restore land, custodianship and ownership in the hands of the state on behalf of the people. Now how the definition is being made in the principal act, it must be retained. It talks about holding property in common on behalf of members of the association, or beneficiaries if you like. And it must be kept as such. We must not insert anywhere that has got to do with ownership. Because later in life, this process is incremental towards something bigger, beyond their comprehension. Far beyond their comprehension. So let us retain the definition as is and be happy with it until we know that we have finally arrived.
Members, I think you've discussed this matter the proposal that we don't agree with the division. We are saying this must be maintained in the principal act as is. Another message? Since William Goen has asked.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I thought that we should let the discussion finish because there's something that's been bothering me. And I don't want to, as the program manager for this, to leave this room without putting that out on the table, if you allow me. So as soon as we are done with this discussion, it relates directly to this. But it's a bigger question than what we are also talking about. And I would like to come back and make that point once this discussion is settled. Okay. No, Chair and members, really, I have listened very carefully to the discussion. I personally don't disagree with the deletion. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't disagree with the deletion for a number of reasons, and I think we will talk about this and obviously have consequences. Implications, I can put it like that. The one problem that's really been bugging me, and I wanted to put it on the table, right from the start when we brought the first report of the CPA, the question was asked by the then portfolio committee, are we dealing with the root cause of all the problems that you are having and seeing with the CPA? Or, in fact, have we settled this question of was the CPA the correct vehicle for holding land? This issue of communal ownership, it exists in it, so it's not a new thing, but the new juristic person that is introduced in our different sets of legislation of the CPA. The question has been asked, was that the correct vehicle of holding land? In the report that you were talking about of the high level, the linkages between that and the communal land tenure bill, for instance, has been made. And it's a clear contradiction when you start to define community in that way, your traditional community as an example. And this debate which we have been raging on do you want CPAs in traditional communities, that issue has not been discussed. But central to this one now, leaving the traditional discussion thing behind, this whole matter of families and communities with no relationship or a joint history being bound together to form this whole landholding thing has been given as the center, the root cause of all the conflicts, the disputes and the past. So these people are brought together by virtue of having been given a grant. They're now, we're talking about beneficiary communities. And when that discussion was going on, I said, please don't go that route. Because there's so many beneficiary communities that you have now of the many programs. The one we have talked about, I've never had the one chicken, one woman. And there are people who are missing land, and there are all kinds of beneficiaries of the programs of the department. Now, this one in particular emphasizes where we give ownership. And there's another kind of debate that's raging about, is this department now going to ask people to not own land, to lease land, and all those discussions going on. But in this particular one, for the CPA, the issue of the communal ownership as a legal persona, if I can call it like a juristic person, is something that we need as a policy, as this committee to really do go back to, because it is creating other kind of problems and there's other unintended consequences. It is true that the land rights management facility, the only thing that it does is resolve disputes. And the disputes are as a result of people who are communally holding land, they are supposed to be sharing rules which have never ever existed in their lives before. And it's a feature that exists only in land reform, doesn't exist anywhere else in law and anywhere else in our society. In fact, if you think about it, the people who are getting, remember the slags, like all of this, were designed around what the housing subsidy was. Those people are not asked to form some communal thing. They own this little house. They're not asked to form something that makes them own something communal. So we really need to dig deeper later on and be able to say, okay, we're making amendments to existing legislation, but was this the right thing to do? I just thought I'd leave you with that thought. Thank you very much.
Ms. Warrior, I think that you will introduce that discussion at the right time. Otherwise, you'll confuse us.
Yes. Thank you.
Honorable Olson?
Chair, just what I wanted to say is the term holding property in common is not in itself, I want to disappoint Member Matthias here, that's not in itself to me a big threat. That's a common term in law. You find it in all kinds of societies. I'm worried about the consequential aspect of this. So I support what Member Fontana suggested. I do not support the simple deletion and we don't revisit this. I just want to place that on record.
You don't support the deletion?
The deletion of the deletion. I believe this particular item needs to be discussed. What Member Fontana suggested, that we look at even a possible other definition. That's his proposal that I'm supporting. I'm not suggesting we debate it now again. As the committee has expressed itself, I do not support us simply just going in like the way that the committee is proposing. I want to place that on record.
Honorable Olson.
Thank you so much. I don't know how we proceed now from where we are. Because we in the definition. And then there has been a whole discussion that unfolded over the past 35 to 45 minutes or more. And the difficulty is that the Honorable Member, Honorable Fintani, has come with two different positions. and it makes it very, very difficult for those of us who have supported his first position. Because now he's coming with a second position. Now it becomes very, very difficult how do we propose. But I want to insist, Chair, that we propose to stick by his originally well-articulated, well-motivated position that he himself at that stage sponsored. But before that, Chair, with regards to the point raised by the acting TDG this week, there's a lot of useful analytical aspects to consider. It's just that she's also now engaging, in a sense, this week, in double talk. Remember, you are leading the team that has brought up this amen. But as an intellectual yourself, you then go outside that and say, oh, let's look at this objectively. That's what you've just done now. But unfortunately, we can't, because you are leading the proposal that we are discussing. Remember, you're leading the department now, right? But there's absolute lots of useful visionary aspects to tease out from your latter input. Like the chair said, but then we may entertain it at some point. It's a useful one. My case, Chair, broadly speaking, but partially in response to this week, but also for me to go back and think that in the world of the economy, I won't say economics, in case then I've got to go academic on that. In that world, there exist cooperatives. Yeah. And cooperatives are these groups of people who are sharing together their common wealth, common initiative, common mode of production. So, my reading or interpretation of CPA seeks to be cooperatives, but in the context of land use, land owners, land holding. So I have subsequently, Honorable Mathia, come to terms with the notion of CPA as organs of people's economic power, land power, right. Now, I agree with Honorable Mathias' other observation about the other depth and about the future. I think it's similar to what Honorable Magella was talking about, right? And propose, Chair, that we stick to the holding. Sticking to the holding will mean deletion of the deletion. Because deleting the deletion will fall foul to arbitrary deprivation. Other than that, being a legal technical aspect. But that's the substance that the Honorable Friedan said is what he picked us out of the public hearing. People were crying. With regards to whether, say, how can you push it further to mean, to explicitly affirm ownership as ownership, I would say, for a start, the people were complaining because we were taking away this this holding. So if you reinstate that holding as the committee is doing now, at least the people will be back to where they were. So the concern of the people would have been eliminated. Then we can take it, perhaps, to the second phase for future other outward amendments as to whether, how do we seek to further affirm this ownership, which perhaps is food for debate and for further conduct amongst ourselves. And propose, Chair, that we set for the earlier submission by our president to delete the division. Thank you.
The view of the majority is that we delete the division and we maintain this as contained in the Principal Act.
Sorry, Chair, I'm very, very sorry. Just a small one. There's acquisition that precedes. That's an important one, there in the definition. Holding of property means acquisition, holding and management. So in other words, that acquisition has to be the year definition.
Come again on the acquisition.
Acquisition is ownership or acquiring?
Acquiring, thank you, Chair. Acquiring and holding. So it's quite substantively empowering, if I may so say, Chair. It's quite extensively empowering, that acquisition and holding. Then if you want to put the word ownership, I'm saying, that, Chair, that's for further amendment.
Yeah,
in
the
House.
Other
point. Yeah.
Honourable Member. The majority view is that we delete
the division.
The division of the definition of the holding of the property in common in the amendment B. We maintain the definition as is in the Principal Act. Do you agree?
Yes.
MOB.
Thank you, Chair. Councillors, make an end of reference to what the acting district has said. Oh, you don't mind us to go there? Okay, alright. Okay, let me focus on that. Chair, I'm 100% behind that, but I would like to get some legal qualification with regard to the implications of what we are agreeing upon. I think this is what our legal advisors, particularly parliamentary ones, are here for. And I'm saying this because somewhere later in the bill, there is provision for disposal and the process for disposal of property by the city aid, and will come up with a stringent measure to go about that. And so if you read the total new bill, you will find that it is implied, therefore, that there will be ownership. You can't talk of disposal of something that you do not own.
Yes.
Okay? And so even if we do not express the same use the word ownership, let's understand that anyone who will be looking at this bill with this delusion of delusion, okay, would be saying, but can't you imagine that this people would own the land? Mm. Now, if that is the case, and we have got the FF strongly objecting to that, I would be comfortable for them to come out and say, we do not want South African people who previously had no land to own land. Simple as all that. Then we record their objection and we proceed and we give South African people who are crying for ownership of land to own it. Thank you.
proposes that juristic, that the community can be a juristic person. So it introduces two types of juristic practice, in the community and the CPA.
Mm.
And in discussing yesterday, the committee made it very clear that there's only one juristic person, and it's the CPA, and that the beneficiaries of community are the ones who own the rights.
Yeah.
But if their wisdom decides to form an agency called the CPA to hold on its behalf. So if in that issue of disposal, which members are already about, if it's the beneficiaries of the community who mandate their institution in the CPA to do whatever it must in the proper management holding an affair on behalf of the community, that the members have noted. And later on the members say that we must strengthen the whole issue of disposal so that the executive is not empowered to act unilaterally when it comes to disposing property, or to disposing property of the community of beneficiaries. It must take a mandate from those who elected them. And this is just an issue of implementation. So when we delete now, for instance, this whole issue about holding land, so the whole act, the Communal Property Association Act, is about communal ownership. That the beneficiary in common owns that property and the form of the initial transaction that we have. So the issue of consent does not arise like that. It only became an issue because the bill suggested that there was another jurisdiction present called a community, which could also parallel to the CPA transact. And that was an issue of ownership that applied other rules. We then agreed with the department that there must have been a drafting mistake, and that when we get to that session during the clause by clause, we would then explain to members that it was a drafting mistake. There's only one entity and director for the community, which is the CPA, transacting on behalf of the owner, which is the community.
So,
yes, it's really controversial. In fact, it only came here as a consequence of this confusion, as I've just pointed out.
Okay, thank you. Honourable members, I agree that we delete the definition of holding the property in common. I think Honourable Stephen agreed on that, supported by majority of members. Can we move to F? Any comment on F, the definition of the interim?
Just like why this said earlier, or somebody, it's because somebody is a new contest and appreciate that. I think a more efficient way of dealing with this such a decision would be for someone to motivate why there's a proposal for a solution. Otherwise, we take time trying to find, you know, where they're doing cross-reference touching on the principal act, where is the interim committee and what have you. But if we are provided with, say, one sentence motivation for it, then we're able to contextualize and empower to respond appropriately. Thank you.
I think they will explain that the presentation of the interim committee was linked to the establishment of the provisional CPA that the government was also deleting the provisional CPA. So it means that if there will be no provisional CPA, but I believe that must have not been.
So that is correct, madam. Okay. In the past, there was a two-step process for conditioning a CPA.
Mm.
There would first be a provisional CPA, and then after a certain thing that the president would become a fully-fledged CPA. So there was an interim committee in the past. The process of the provisional CPA, because of doing away with that, two
such process, and we are creating a general process where people simply at once apply for a CPA, not a provision. That's why that is being done. Thank you.
And some of the reasons why this thing is removed comes from the public hearing. Where you have an interim committee, and the interim committee doesn't want anything to go forward. So you remain in interim committee for more than 5 years.
Yes.
So it's necessary that we have a not temporary structure, but a real structure that will exist.
Can I get a confirmation from one of the
honourable
members that we
actually
delete the designation of the interim committee?
Given the explanation and also assuming that the department will really be able to assist the committees to move straight into permanent structures, so to speak, then I would formally propose that we agree to that.
Thank you very much. Let's move to G. By the insertion after the definition of interim committee of the following definition, the labor tenant. Means the labor tenant is defined in section 1 of the Land Reform Collective Labor Tenant Act 1996, Act No. 3 of 1996. The labor tenant.
The definition of the labor tenant here, one must establish the purposes of having such a definition. Only to clarify a circumstance or an event where a specific group of beneficiaries who happen to be beneficiaries, who happen to be beneficiaries of land restitution, who for a period of time have been on land as labor tenants. Is that the purpose of it? And it has got no other intention of further, as we describe in the being, what the community is. We include labor tenants. Because once such community or group of people have been restituted, they cease to be labor tenants. They become beneficiaries. So I just want to get clarity, because if we were to continue to define and have no consensus on what it seeks to achieve or its purpose is, it will continue to give me some problem. I'm raising this for better clarity.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The reason why we define labor tenants is because we use it in the body of the act of the thing. And as it has become apparent, it also appears in the definition of community, it is the subject of the discussion, and I think it also appears in application of the Act, I think it's section 2 and the talks about it as well. It appears because we refer to it in the Act. So it should be read together. The petition should be read together with the substantive provision that refers to the document. That's the only way it can help the honorable member to understand why we refer to the document. The reason to appear in the initial body of the bill.
I'm pretty much happy with the explanation, provided that such insertion of labor tenant would find no expression in the definition of what was already termed a community. So as long as we do not find expression there, I'm happy with the explanation. Thank you so much.
Honorable Chairman.
So the day we are dealing with, we are reversing things backwards and after the 1918 massacre. There were people who were removed from their land, and there were those who later worked on the farms, but residing on the farm. And part of it were not of labor tenants in that day. Some of them were not actually taken, they were having rights to the specific portion of the land, they could have animals, and then share, you know, to share cropping and all those. Those kinds, those people were living on the land, and the land was worked by them. When we change the law, is to say, what is this that they are going to benefit, you know, from their blood and sweat, in terms of the blue work that actually made those homes to be what they are. They cannot just remain labor tenants. When the land is bought for them, or when they are given this land through restitution, restoration, and whatever, all the other, all the elements of the restitution, they become landowners after that. You can't refer to them as, you can refer them as former tenants who are now landowners, but we're referring to them as landowners, but also they qualify also to form part of it, to form CPA, because there will be, I mean, after the settlement, the farm will be given to them to become their property.
Honorable
members,
do you agree with the definition
they were saying?
Can I get confirmation?
I see a hand there from
Dr. Kahn.
Yes, thank you both for the opportunity. I just wanted also just to go back to discussion yesterday. It was the observation by the department for including labor, reference to labor tenants in this bill. But because this is the proposed definition of community that could form a CPA, they wanted to extend it to rich labor tenants. And in discussion yesterday, it was said that the current definition does not exclude labor tenants. The categories of people who can form. And remember, the third said in the Ustam that when former labor tenants have decided to form a CPA, they are no longer labor tenants. In any case, the protection for the vulnerable group known as labor tenants has its own specific legislation that protects them and gives obligation. In this instance, we're dealing with communal ownership of property for purposes of the land reform. And therefore, we motivate you that. That definition that would not make sense going on in the bill, in the amendment of this bill, if the decision is that there should be no specific category of labor tenants protected under this legislation. So my suggestion here would be that it is deleted. What if that is really that by the case?
Wait your hand.
But it's because before he spoke, he had already identified, don't you?
Okay.
That's why I'm speaking, but you had the intervention. Well, I'm inclined to agree with the legal officer. If you have no any significant meaning going forward, because it would have been dealt away with in the definition of what the community is in the context of this bill, mm-hmm. It should be deleted. If that is really what it would be. And I'm happy with that explanation, I'm prepared to deal with it. Understanding that once such a group of people have been restituted, have acquired land, they seems to be referred to as labor tenants, and they assume new status as of owners of that specific piece of land.
Members, do we agree to the effort that we delete the labor tenant definition? Can I get a confirmation from one of them?
Okay,
thank you, Chair. I'm convinced that the simple explanation and the definition give us a lot.
Much better proceed. Provisional association. Has been explained by the Professor Masaraka. Of the internal committee and the provisional association. And also, it was elaborated by Honorable Chabelin. Any comments from the members?
Madam Chair, let's apply the same principle we applied to the Derby.
Thank you very much. The register. And the right. Honorable President.
We concur with the suggested amendment. Thank you.
The proposal that we concur with the amendment agreed to. The register again, J, by the intention of the designation of register and following definition register, means the register of the Community Property Association contemplated in section 2, section 1. Hello,
President.
Agreed. K, by the definition of the definition of registration officer. Self-verified the issue of the registration officer by advocate journal and also an other legal order. Comments from the members? Honorable President?
I concur, sir.
Agreed, sir. By the substitution for the definition of similar entity of the following definition, similar entity, as raised by Honorable Wilson. We agree. Honorable President?
Yes, sir. Makes sense to agree, so I propose we.
There's a proposal that we agree. Honorable Members, when we started the meeting, apologies were presented. We ended up agreeing that Honorable Matthias indicated that you will be leaving at 2. Honorable Goldstein and Honorable Walshard indicated that they will be leaving around 1 from the meeting. Then we agreed that and Honorable Magata also has left. Let's agree that we leave it at for today. At section 1, section 1, L. In our next meeting, we start with section amendment of section 2 of Act 38 of 1990.
Madam Member, thank you very much. We continue with the first report. I think we are doing what we are supposed to do. We can take 2 hours in one show. That is what we are supposed to do.